try to answer them.
Okay. The first thing, the first thing that they wanted to know a little bit about was just what crops you're growing this year, what you're planting right now, and maybe how you knew that it was time to plant with the rains beginning.
Normally we start planting around November and December if the rains come earlier. And then what we are planning to grow this year is maize. Many families, they grow maize as their major crop because we use milling every day, 2 meals a day. So it's our major crop. We grow a lot of maize. And then we also grow rapoco and sorghum. Rapoco and sorghum, it was a crop which was being used by our forefathers, our ancestors, before the white people came to Africa. And we used that one for our for milk. They used them to make me salsa. It's pap. And now we are using it to brew African beer. When we are having our ancestral ceremonies, and some they use it to brew beer for selling. And then we also grow peanuts, ground nuts, sweet potatoes. Not Russian potatoes, but sweet potatoes. And we also grow pumpkins and beans.
So when you last wrote to me, you were talking about the work that the children do in the fields and what some of the jobs are that they have to do, and that when the children are home, that there were things they needed to do to help in the fields. And, you know, the students here, I think, would like to know, what is the work like? What kinds of jobs do people need to do to help out with the farming? And, you know, what are some of the things that people need to do to make the fields ready or help with the planting or harvest?
Yeah, first of all, off-season, it's like in July, June, July, during winter time. We also do winter plowing, preparing for the coming season. We plow. And we don't grow anything. We just want the field to be clean so that it doesn't have grasses. And then after that, we also prepare manure. We take manure in the forestry, the leaves that falls from the trees, and then we collect it and we take them into the cow pens and pig sties. And then we mix with the waste from the cows, and then we prepare manure. And then later, we are to carry that manure to the field before the rain comes. We're using scotch carts. We yoke donkeys and oxen to carry the manure to the field. And then during that time, we have some other land which is not, which is sloppy, and sometimes when we have a lot of rain, it can cause soil erosion. So we make some condo regions. And some other people, we have got now a new system of growing vetiver to prevent soil erosion.
And how many, when you're plowing, you have an animal that's hooked up to the, yoked to the plow? How many animals do you need to pull the plow?
Yeah, it depends of with which people, how many cattle they have. Some people, we have got lots of cattle, they can yoke four oxen, and some can use two. And it differs with the type of soil. Some of the soil is hard soil, and some of the soil is sand soil, which is easy to pull using two oxen. Mm. And then our oxen, we train them, and they've got names. Mm. It's like we name them and we train them to so that you can use them properly without any problems.
So what if there is a year when the rains don't come, or where you maybe have enough rain to maybe start planting, but then the rains stop and dry up, and then there's no more rain? What do people do in the rural areas if they've planted their crops and the rains don't come?
Yeah, it's very difficult when we are not having enough rain, because the people suffer. You know, people in the rural areas, they live on the things they grow in their fields. So they don't have enough money, and farming is their source of income, to send school children and to buy clothes and some other basic needs like sugar and other groceries. So it will be very difficult when we are not having enough rain. When having such crisis, we have got non-governmental organizations in the country that can intervene, and then they can supply food to the people. And also sometimes the government can just put a little bit to give people food and other things. And we also have small gardens that we can grow and we can irrigate using some water from the river.
And of the food that you grow at your farm, for the crops you grow, how much of it is food that you eat there with your family, and how much is things that you might sell?
It's like with our family, we are people who are more than 18. And then when we are having a good yield, we can get something like 3 or more tons of maize and 1 ton of peanuts and groundnuts.
Mm-hmm.
We can use, let's say, something like 1 ton per year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other 3 tons we can sell it to the Grain Marketing Board, which is a government department. And then the other maize we can give it to, there are some other relatives and our neighbors who doesn't, we are very, very poor, we cannot afford to grow things for themselves because they don't have cattle and they don't have money to get input to buy feed and other things during the rainy season. So we give them some of the maize and they help us to do weeding and removing grasses in our fields.
Uh-huh.
So there are some other people which we can give some of the food.
Some of the students were wondering about what it was like when you were young, maybe when you were 14 or 15 or 16. Were you in school there? Were you living there where you are? And were things really different when you were, I mean, that's like 30 years ago. What was it like when you were the age of these students?
Yeah, I grew up in a family of 8 children, and our father passed away when I was 4 years old, and then we live up with our mother. And then our mother keep us using food and money for our clothes and other things from farming. And then I started school when I was around 8 years old. And our primary school is about 3 to 4 kilometers away from our home. And by those days, we, at the school, at primary school, we hadn't enough textbooks to read. So we would share, say 5 students can share 1 textbook. And then some other subjects, it's only the teacher who can have a textbook. And then they just put the, they can just teach you using the blackboard and they write on the blackboard. And then we wear uniforms at the primary school, but it's only a few students who, by that time, who managed to get uniforms and even shoes. I can say maybe by that time, maybe less than 10 students had to get shoes by that time. But uniforms, there are some who to get uniforms, but we were forced to have uniforms. And then we'd go to school from grade 1 up to 7, and at grade 7 we'd write an examination so that they can see whether you pass. If you pass grade 7, then you can go into form 1, form 2, and up.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how things were going by that time. And it was a little bit difficult because when I was in grade 5, that's when we had a war in Zimbabwe. When we were fighting against the British people who were colonizing our country. And then at school it was very difficult because it was during war, wartime, people were in the bush, the colonists were in the bush, and sometimes they would shoot each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's always guns and tanks, and the teachers were sometimes running away from the work.
Mm-hmm.
And later in, and by that time we had a few secondary schools in the country. And then later, when we attained independence, that's when the government had to introduce more schools.
How are your children doing now? How are all of the children at home?
Yeah, they are all fine. As I said in my last email, Florine is right. She wrote a grade 7 examination, and then they wrote 4 subjects. And yesterday, they were waiting for their results so that if she passes, she's going to go to Form 1.
Uh-huh.
And then they phoned me yesterday in the afternoon, and they said that she managed to get 12 points out of 36. So she is a good pass. So I'm now going to see that she can get a place somewhere for secondary school, a boarding school.
Uh-huh.
Because we have got boarding schools and day schools. But then, yeah, the boarding schools, they need a lot of money, and they've got good teachers, and they get everything at boarding schools. So I'm deciding that Florin can go to a boarding school.
And Tapiwa also wrote his exams?
Yeah, Tapiwa wrote all level examinations, and he wrote 7 subjects, and the results are not yet out.
Okay.
They are going to get the results maybe in February.
Uh-huh. It takes a little
while. Yeah, and when he passes, he can go for Form 5, then Form 6.
So you are staying now until Saturday? Are you going home on Saturday?
Yeah, I'll be going home on Saturday morning, yeah.
So from where you are now, how do you actually travel back to Gunguvu? How many different parts to the trip do you have to make?
I'm going to change more than 7 to 8 taxis, because I'm going to take a taxi from here to the main third road to Zimbabwe, and then we are going to buy our groceries in Louis Richard, and then from Louis Richard, it's a town here in South Africa, we are going to the border. And then at the border, sometimes we have long queues, especially during the night because most of the buses from Joburg and other towns here in South Africa, they travel during the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when we have long queues at the border. They check our passports, they stamp them. Some people will be not having passport, and then they pay money to the police officers and what. And then it's just 1 kilometer from South African side. Then Zim side, they do the same. They check our passport, and then they take our things, because we buy a lot of things here, groceries, some clothing, and other things, stationery and whatever. And then they give us duty rebates for these things. Mm-hmm. One person is allowed to buy things worth 2,500 rand once per month. So if it exceeds 2,500 rand, you are then to pay a duty.
Mm-hmm.
And their duty is very high.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than 135%.
Ah.
Which means if you buy something for 80 rand, which means you are going to pay it 50 rand to
wow.
the government. Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
Yeah. And what about back at home in Zimbabwe, are they preparing for elections again, or is it not sure if they're going to have elections next year?
We are not sure. Because they are busy trying to work on this constitution.
Uh-huh.
And then they are drafting that constitution. After drafting the constitution, they are going to make a referendum whereby they bring back the constitution to the people, and then the people will decide whether it is the right constitution or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going to, it's a long process. Now we are in December, and then maybe it needs 3 or more months to have that referendum. And then our government doesn't have enough money to do that.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, ZANU-PF is afraid that it is going to lose the election. So they are making some delaying tactics. That's why you find out that sometimes they assault the opposition supporters and other things.
Mm.
Even when you're at home, every time they, these ZANU-PF people, they make some rallies, they get up people, and then they force them to come to their rallies, and then they try to intimidate people that if you vote for the opposition, we are going to have a war here in Zimbabwe.
Mm.
And then they promise that they are going to kill the opposition supporters and whatever. And even now, they've got a program whereby they give some farm inputs like seeds and fertilizers. So they take them, these inputs, and they give them to ZANU-PF supporters.
Uh-huh.
Some of their strategies they are using.
Is there anything that you wanted to ask or tell the students who are here in the room today?
Okay. First of all, I would like to thank those students who managed to be generous to us and send us a little bit of money to help us here. And then I would also wish them a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you. They're very happy to hear that. I wish we could have you come here. It would be so nice if you could be here as a visitor at my school and talk to students in person. But we're grateful that you can take some time to talk with us on the phone and talk a little bit. And I have been able to record this so I can play it also for some other students. I have another class, and they were interested also in talking a little bit tomorrow, but I don't know if you have time for me to call once more tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be having time if you call me at this time. And then I don't know if you can make some pictures of the students that you can also send them.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you showed some of the of my pictures to them.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm going to make more pictures. Then I can send you some of the pictures.
They're looking at a picture of you right now on the wall. It's projected. They're looking at you in a field of, I think it looks like in a field of round nuts that you sent to me. So they can see a picture of you.
Yeah.
Even though we can't see you on the phone, we can see you.
Okay.
Okay.
Do right.
Good. Well, I'll try to call once more tomorrow. It might be a little bit earlier than today because the class tomorrow meets a little bit earlier. But we'll try and see if we can get you with the other group for just a little bit.
That will be all right. No problem. Yeah. Welcome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mukoma. Thank you for talking, and we'll talk to you once more before you go home.
Okay. Pass my greetings to Sonia, Aid, and...
Okay. Will do. And you, same.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.